Thank you,
Hare
Mataji.
Krishna. Hare Krishna Mataji. Dharmat Pram. Srila Prabhupada Kiti Guru Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. All right, let's get started.
Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Group. Today we are fortunate to have Her Grace Radhika Kasturi Mataji on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat Adi Khanda, chapter 7, verse number 17 onwards. So thank you very much, Mataji. Dandat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your very, very valuable time and association to us in this morning and enlightening us on this topic. Now I hand over the call to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Sorry for the delay, and let's get started. Om Agnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati Svapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajadam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashaita Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Namo Mahavatanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tukshe Namaha Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktatyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam Namaste Halagre Namaste Mushalayuda Namaste Revadikanta Namaste Bhaktavatsala Namaste Tarinitara Namaste Phalanam Shrestha Pralambare Namaste Namaste stu yehi mam Krishna Purvaja, He Krishna Karuna Sindho, Dina Bandho, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostute, Shri Man Rasarambi Vamsi, Tatastiti, Karshan Venustvane, Gopir, Gopinatha, Shri Estutanaha, Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi, Radhe, Vrindavaneshwari, Rishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami, Hari Priye, Neela Chalanvasha, Nityaya Paramatmane, Balabhadra Subhadrayam, Jagannathaya Te Namaha, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadara, Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki chai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki chai. So, thank you, dear devotees, for today's call. And thank you, Preeti Vilasini Mataji, for this opportunity to present today in the Bhakti Sangha Japa conference on the theme Chaitanya Bhagavat Adi Kanda, chapter 7, verse number 17. You can get started. Let me share my presentation with you. Okay, I always make a mistake. Let's see. Okay. Are you all able to see my screen? Oh. And is my voice audible as well?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay. Great. All right. Jagat pramatatana putra vidya rase vaishnavade kile matre sabhe upahase. Translation. The people of the world were mad for enjoying wealth, children and education. So we are actually seeing a different mood now. What is going on? What is happening in the Navadvip area? So we are having a transition from what Vishwambar was doing, and then now we are seeing how the mood of the people in Navadvipas. So there's going to be a contrast how people are behaving and what sort of behavior they have. That is the theme of today's context. So we'll be going through a few verses, trying to understand the translation and commentary, and then obviously discuss about the essence of the themes from these verses. So this is what we'll be doing in today's class. English translation. So So the people of the world, they're mad for enjoying wealth, children, and education. Whenever they saw the Vaishnavas, they would ridicule them. So, commentary. Mundane people work hard for what? For achieving wealth, children, education. And when they do not see such propensities in a Vaishnava, they deride him. Deride meaning ridicule him. So this is what is happening. Next verse. Aryathara japade sabha vaishnava dekiya yati sati tapaviyo yeve mariya. Translation. They would compose blasphemous rhymes and recite them when they saw a Vaishnava. They challenged, what is the use of being a sannyasi, a chaste wife or a tapasvi? They also must die. This is what the blasphemers do. They even composed rhymes. Can you believe to the extent they went to blaspheme them? They did not just ordinarily use the words. They composed rhymes and recited them in order to blaspheme them. And they challenged, hey, what is the use of you being a sannyasi or a chaste wife or a tapasvi? You're also going to die. You also have a body and you're going to perish. So what's the difference? So commentary. Commentary says, whenever they saw a pure Vaishnava, they would tease them with the poems that they had composed. They even said that the performance of religious duties by sannyasis, chaste women, and aesthetics are all useless. In spite of accumulating great piety, they cannot save themselves from death. Are you able to escape from death? If it's not possible, then why are you doing all this? Why are you doing all this? It's not getting you any kind of value. You are not able to save yourself from death. So there was no need to observe these religious duties. In other words, they considered such people unfortunate miscreants. They're all unfortunate because they spent a lot of time following these vows and vritas and so many things. But what's the use? You're not able to save yourself from death. So I don't know how to actually manage these screens. Okay. Tare bale sukriti ye dole guda chade sasa bhisha chana yara age pachirade. Translation. We consider someone pious if he can ride on a palanquin or a horse surrounded by 10 or 20 people. This is what pious is. What is pious people have? They have lot of, these people, they ride on a palanquin and horse that is surrounded by 10 to 20 people. That is when I see this person is fortunate or pious. Commentary. On the other hand, they considered a fortunate person as one who takes pride in his opulence as he rides on a horse or palanquin surrounded by many servants and associates. So a person, if he has to be carried in a palanquin, then, you know, obviously it shows how opulent this person is. So many people are there to carry him and help him out, you know. So this shows how opulent this person is. And also indirectly, he shows how much wealth I have. Indirectly, we can see his prideness. So this is what is the commentary. Next verse. Etayi koshani pavikarah krandana tabutara dharidraya dukkanahaya kandana. Translation. You all cry for the Lord with love and devotion, yet you remain poverty stricken. Commentary. The word bhave means with intense love, and the word gosani is a respectful address to the Lord. At the time of chanting Krishna's name, tears of love flows from the eyes of his loving devotees. The aesthetic karmis, they are eager for sense enjoyment and they are always offenders at the law at the lotus feet of the holy names and did not accept such flow of tears as a symptom for love of Krishna. Rather, they ridicule the chanting of Krishna's name and shedding of tears as useless because they thought that by chanting Krishna's names, the devotees were not able to attain the insignificant and irrelevant fruit of freedom from poverty. So you guys are not able to elevate yourself and become opulent. You are shedding tears, but what's the use of shedding tears? You are chanting the holy names of the Lord with shedding of tears. But they don't understand it's a symptom of love of Lord Krishna. Such an elevated thing, such an auspicious thing, but they are ridiculing them. Oh, you're chanting Krishna's name, you're shedding tears, all of them are useless. And this is the how they are blaspheming the Vaishnavas. In other words, the devotees were not able to achieve material prosperity and happiness by counteracting their poverty with the help of the holy name, which is non-different from the eternally worshipable Lord Krishna. Of course, they don't understand the holy name is non-different from Lord Krishna. Of course, we ourselves as sadhakas, we are trying to obviously get into the mindset of trying to see the fact that the holy name is non-different from Lord Krishna. We are all trying every day, because when we chant, we know how sincerely we are chanting the holy names of the Lord. When we have distractions, that means we are not putting Krishna in the center. We are keeping ourselves in the center, right? So we are trying to understand in reality what that actually means by chanting of the glories of the holy names of the Lord. But these people, obviously, they don't even have that theoretical understanding. Those atheists commit several offenses at the feet of the holy names by their faithlessness. In other words, the devotees were not able to achieve material prosperity and happiness by counteracting their poverty with the help of holy name, which is non-different from Lord Krishna. So these people, you are all saying this holy name is non-different from Lord Krishna, but are you able to counteract your poverty? Are you able to come to an elevated status of being having some material opulence? Are you able to achieve material prosperity? No. Then that's all useless then. What's the use of you guys crying with tears when you chant the holy names of the Lord? So this is all due to faithlessness. Those atheists committed severe offenses at the feet of holy names by their faithlessness. This is definitely not a good idea, isn't it? So they are doing this kind of blasphemy to the devotees of the Lord. Ghana ghana hari hari bali chada dhaka krudahaya goshani shunile bhada dhaka. Translation. You loudly and repeatedly chant the name of Lord Hari, but he becomes angry when anyone chants his name, loudly chants his name. So they were like, oh, how can you loudly chant the holy names of the Lord? These atheists would say that if one always loudly chants the holy names, the Gosani or the Lord would be displeased. He will be displeased. Who should not chant the holy names of the Lord loudly. Okay. Mate bhole Krishna bhakti suni jane suni makha dukha paya bhagavata ghane. Translation. People who are devoid of devotion to the Supreme Lord would speak to the Vaishnavas in this way, and the devotees felt great sorrow on hearing such things. This is definitely not tolerable to any devotee, isn't it? Such is the blasphemy of these atheist people. So much they do to blaspheme the glories of the holy names of the Lord, to defame the bhaktas who are chanting the glories of the holy names of the Lord. So this is something that the Vaishnavas were not able to tolerate or hear such things. Tavo na sune keha Krishna kirtana dhakta deke sakala samsara anukshana. I'm sorry, the meter may be wrong here and there. The sound of chanting of Krishna's name could not be heard anywhere, as everyone in the world continuously burned in the fire of material existence. So this did not go into people's heart, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, because they were kind of too much into this material world. They were not able to see the spirituality because of their faithlessness, because of their blasphemy towards Vaishnavas and the Vaishnavas and the holy name. They are not able to see. Even though the holy name is potent, they are not able to see because of their continuous absorption in this material existence. Kodukha bhada paya vishwarupa bhagavan na sune abhishta krishna chandera akyana. The Supreme Lord, Sri Vishwarupa, was most distressed because he did not hear any glorification of the worshipable Lord, Lord Krishna. So for devotees, Tushyanti cha Ramanti cha, they always want to hear the glories of the holy names of the Lord. They always want to discuss Krishna Katha, enjoy in the company of devotees. have a nice time discussing about glories and enjoying the pastimes of the Lord, isn't it? But Vishwarupa was not able to see any of this in this kind of atmosphere where he was in. He was surrounded by a lot of atheistic people, and they were all defaming Vaishnavas and the holy names. This was something he could not take it. Any Vaishnava would feel distressed, isn't it? Looking at the ignorance of people, looking at how poverty, how they don't have the sukriti to actually chant and enjoy the glories of the holy names of the Lord. He felt really bad and distressed. Gita Bhagavata ye ye jane vapadya Krishna bhakti vyakyana karuna aise jivaya. Even those who spoke Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam would never explain anything about devotion to Krishna. So this is the pity. These people are talking very big literatures. We are talking about Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, but they are not able to explain about devotion to Lord Krishna. So imagine the condition. Some people are there, but they are just trying to say something. But they are not able to talk about the importance of devotional service of Lord Krishna. This is the status of those, some other people, some other sect of people. Some were purely atheists. Some who had knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, they were not able to explain the devotion to Lord Krishna. The so-called learned professors who had no devotion for Vishnu taught Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, but they never explained the importance of devotional service to Krishna. Being overwhelmed with pride from material education on the basis of these scriptures, they taught religiosity, economic development, and sense gratifications to the sense enjoyers, and liberation of merging in the impersonal Brahman to the renounced Mayavadis. Whoever wanted sense gratification, they taught them sense gratification on the basis of scriptures. Can you believe it? This was due to their pride from material education. You know what? I'm such a learned scholar. I can, you know, memorize or say Bhagavad Gita, all the 700 verses. Something of that sort. They didn't understand the essence of Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. If they understood the essence, then they would have spoken about the importance of devotional service to Lord Krishna. That is why the commentary says the so-called learned professors, they are not learned. And whoever wanted liberation, then they were actually, guiding them to merge in the impersonal Brahman. Again, these people are renounced Mayavadis. Kutarka gushiya shaba adhyapaka mare patihena namanahi janaya samsare. The teachers wasted their lives in useless arguments. People of the world had not even heard the name Bhakti. So when you have such people around, obviously, is your argument better or my argument better? But again, it's all in the game of mundane discussion, right? You're not talking anything about Bhakti because they have not even heard what Bhakti or devotional service is. Simply in useless arguments, they have wasted their lives. Such is the condition of those people. Very, very pitiable. Advaitacharyadi yata bhakta gana jivera kumati deki karaya krandana. Thus the devotees headed by Advaita Acharya simply cried upon seeing the atheistic mentality of people. Of course, they were not able to tolerate. Vishwarup was not able to tolerate. Srila Advaita Acharya, he was not able to tolerate. They all cried upon seeing this atheistic mentality of these people because they can understand whenever they are going to turn away from Krishna, what is going to happen? Suffering is going to come to us. They are able to foresee how much misfortune is going to come to them because they are turning away from Lord Krishna. Because they are blaspheming the Vaishnavas and the holy names. How much misfortune are they going to get? They can definitely see. And they are not able to tolerate. And hence they are to show their compassion. They cry upon seeing those people with atheistic mentality. This is the mood of our great devotees. Dukhe Vishwarupa Prabhu mane mane gane na dekhi baloka mukha kaliyana vane. In such a distress, Vishwarup considered, I will not look at the face of these materialistic people. Rather, I will go to the forest. It's better because whatever we associate with, that is what we become, isn't it? If we are always surrounded by the association of good people, then obviously we are going to develop good qualities. If we are obviously going to chant the holy names of the glories of the holy names of the Lord, then we are going to get the qualities of the Lord, isn't it? So when this is the understanding, whatever we associate with, that is what we become. So this association in the form of books, association in the form of people, association in the form of scriptures, everything helps a person. So it's very important to keep our mind clear. What do we associate with? Whom do we talk to? Whom do we discuss Krishna Katha with? Are we discussing it with the Mayavadi? Are we discussing with the devotee who relishes? We need to have that delineation and discrimination when we actually associate. So this is the point. Usakale Vishwarupa Kari Ganga Snana Advaita Sabhyasi Haya Upasthana. Every morning, Sri Vishwarup would take bath in the Ganges and then go to the gathering at Advaita Prabhu's house. So this is the mood of a devotee. Wherever there is some gathering, wherever devotees are, he would want to go there and participate in that. Right? Vishwarup, Srila Vishwarup, he did that. Every morning he did that. Sarva Shastra Vyakyanena Krishna Bhakti Sara Suniya Advaita Sukha Karena Hankara. Vishwarup established devotional service to Lord Krishna as the essence of all scriptures. On hearing his explanation, Advaita Prabhu roared with happiness. So we see this as an example, isn't it? How devotees, when the devotees actually speak Krishna Katha or some sort of topic about devotional service to the Lord, which is the essence of all scriptures, what happens to the devotees who are very pure at their heart? They actually become very happy. So when we carry the materialistic mindset, then what happens? If one devotee speaks nicely about glorifying the Lord, this guy might feel he just came into Krishna consciousness. How can he do such a good job? He might start, oh, I'm better than him. I have to prove that. I have to do another Krishna Katha and show him how great I am. When we carry this materialistic mindset, this is what would happen. Even though he's a devotee, he's really behaving in a very low standard. How our consciousness is, it will be blatant to us. We will think the other devotee doesn't know what I'm thinking in my heart. But we can know, I mean, Krishna is there in our heart. He knows that. And we can even feel it. These anarthas are there in our heart. At least, you know, if we realize what our anartha is, we have to pray to the Lord, Krishna, please help me overcome this anartha. Right? We may have this anarthas because we are all coming from this materialistic mindset, entering into the aspect of devotional service, trying to swim in this ocean of trying to swim here. But when we are not able to swim and when we don't have sufficient balance, then we call out and help, ask Vaishnavas for help, ask Krishna for help, pray to him. Because somehow we have to cross this ocean, right? And for this, all these things that we have in terms of me, mine, the selfish mentality, the anarthas, all this has to go away. Only then we are eligible to go to the spiritual world. So we must always keep that running in the background. How is my consciousness? Even though others don't know about it, we have to check for ourselves to see how am I acting, reacting? What are my thoughts? What are my actions? So we definitely have to follow and try to as much as possible, pray to Krishna. If you're not able to overcome your anarthas by yourself, pray to Krishna sincerely and Krishna will definitely guide us in the right way. So now my plan for today is, so we have gone through a set of verses. Again, we have to always keep asking ourselves, what is the essence? What am I learning from this? What is my takeaways from today's class? When we ask that question, we should have some solid points as takeaways, isn't it? Because that is the purpose of Krishna Katha. We have to keep hearing Krishna's glories and the essence has to be understood in a thorough manner. So I plan to discuss this theme in depth so that we can all understand the essence of the verses that we have spoken about. So, all right, so let's get started. with the essence and go through some themes from various scriptures. I have quotations from Srimad Bhagavatam. I have quotations from Chaitanya Bhagavat. I have quotations from Bhakti Sandarbha. So we will get into it and understand what is the essence of the theme and how am I to support, how am I to act as a Vaishnava. And so that way we will maybe benefit from today's class. Okay, so from Bhagavad Gita, if you look at this verse, Yanisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami yasyam jagrati bhutani sanisha pasyato munehe. What does this verse say? What is the night for all beings is the time for awakening of the self-control. And the time of awakening for all beings is the night for the introspective stage. When this particular devotee, he chants the holy names of the Lord for however long, maybe at a minimum 2 hours, he chants the holy names of the Lord. And this materialistic person who sees this person chanting the glories of the holy names of the Lord, what does he feel? Why is this fellow wasting his time? I really don't understand. He's waking up early in the morning and trying to chant the names of the Lord. That too, just not for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, but 2 hours. Oh my God, such a waste of time. This is what a materialistic person will think. So there is definitely Bhagavad Gita also supports this theme from what we learned in today's verse. Like that, these blasphemers, they were trying to, what are they trying to do? They were trying to obviously criticize and ridicule these Vaishnavas. Isn't it? Oh, what are you doing? You are still in this poverty condition. You are not even becoming opulent. You cannot overcome death. What are you guys doing? Whatever you are doing, it's all useless. So our Bhagavad Gita also supports this verse. When people ridicule us for our practice of devotional service, then that means we are doing the right thing. This is the understanding. Because a devotee knows devotee's heart. A materialistic person cannot understand what a devotee is to me. Because this happiness, the inner satisfaction that we get, can the devotee only can feel that. This is the understanding. All right. So this is the first, obviously our Bhagavad Gita also supports what we are talking about from today's verses. Now we are going to get into a very interesting thing. Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains this episode of Balaram and Dhenukasura. So we are going to talk about it and we are going to have several takeaway points from this. And I'll definitely tell you how is this going to relate to our today's topic as well. As we go through the story, you will understand how is actually relating to our topic. Okay, so let's understand what Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur is trying to tell us. He explains when Balaram kills Dhenukasura, he's just not killing a demon in Vrindavan, but this is the spiritual master. He's actually killing the material mindset in us. The material mind is, first of all, what is it? The mind that operates with black and white categories. It's just, oh, this is black, this is white. Purely logical. It thinks like that only. This is not practical. What are you trying to do? This is what our material mindset is. To understand spiritual philosophy, one has to actually rise above to a higher level. So Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakura, he explains the spiritual master should actually help us understand or maybe get rid of these material concepts concerning three things. We are going to discuss what those three things are. These three things are due to the materiality of our mind. And it is inevitable that a man actually forms these material concepts. Regarding the nature of the soul, he forms what are the three things we are going to talk about? This materialistic person with a materialistic mindset, he forms material concepts about the nature of the soul, nature of God, and nature of the holy name. Okay, these are the three things. When a person actually comes into Krishna consciousness, it is these three ideas about the soul, about God, about the holy name that actually lead to an offense. So there are ones, these are the ones that is going to actually stop a person from progressing further. Because I come and I ask this question, who am I? What is the idea of myself? A man, he considers himself to be the body, isn't it? One way or the other, he considers himself to be the body. Srila Prabhupada, if you look at him, he again and again repeatedly said this. He was not lazy to say this at all. He kept repeatedly saying the statement, you're not the body, you're the soul. Why? Because we haven't figured it out. The answer is very simple. We may have learned this phrase by heart in our, you know, it's there in our heart. Even if somebody wakes you up from the middle of the night and asks you, who are you? You say, I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. But have we understood in reality, in practicality? I understand I'm not the body theoretically. Do we understand that you're actually the soul? So it's far from easy. That is why Srila Prabhupada had to repeatedly tell the statement that you're not the body. And how about, so what is the point we are trying to derive at? The first thing we should understand that it is not going to happen by itself. It's not some kind of process that will happen by itself. Oh, slowly you will realize you're not the body and you're the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. So this actually happens due to the mercy of our spiritual master. Spiritual teacher is the one who's going to help us understand, to help us get rid of our material mindset, get out of this material mind, because we identify strongly with our material mind. And this mind strongly identifies with the body. So our spiritual master is the one who's going to shed his mercy upon us and help us understand that we are not this. All right. So this is about the soul, the nature of the soul. The second concept that we are going to see today is with regards to material conception of God. Who is God in terms of material concepts? Who is he? Oh, where does he fit? Oh, he's there sitting somewhere. He probably has long beard, very old, has white hair somewhere, sitting somewhere. You know what? This person with a material mindset, he also thinks this person who's very having this long gray hair, whitish grayish hair, he sits somewhere. This person is limited. You know why this person is limited? Because he has a form. When our material mind turns on, we just operate logically. Because whatever has a form should be limited. This is what our material mind says. If somebody is there, if somebody has a form, that person must be limited because he has a form. The material mind cannot understand how Lord can have a form at the same time be unlimited. This is the speciality of the Lord. He is inconceivable. In order to understand and accept, we need the guidance of spiritual master again. We need his love. Only from his love we'd be able to understand that, you know, obviously this person who has a personal form, he has this form, but he's unlimited. This conception of God can be understood again by the mercy of our spiritual master. The third concept that we need to understand is the nature of the holy name. Again, it involuntarily arises in our minds. When we chant the holy names of the Lord, what is the sound? The sound seems like a material sound. I can pronounce the sound with my throat. I can speak it out with my throat. But again, can we understand? Can you say the holy name with your throat? Can a person understand? We need the mercy of our spiritual master again. He has to give us this feeling, this intuitive feeling that Krishna is non-different from the holy name. Because again, when we get distracted, coming back to our conversation, when we get distracted, who's our center? Our center is us. Because we are thinking about things that are relevant to us. We are not having Krishna in the center. The spiritual master is the one who would help us understand who has to be kept in the center. It is Krishna who has to be kept in the center. He has to help us understand and realize that this holy name is non-different from the Lord. This holy name has so much potency. This holy name is not a mundane sound. It is transcendental sound directly descending from the Goloka Vrindavan, right? Through our parampara. This is no ordinary sound. This has to be ingrained and intuitively felt by a devotee only through the mercy of our spiritual master, right? Again, when we take the quote of Padma Puran, it says, Abhinatvan nama namino, nama chintamani Krishna chaitanya rasa vigraha, Purna Sudyo Nitya Mukto Abhinnatva Nama Namino. This is what Padma Puran says. It's not different from Lord Krishna. So the point here, that coming back to the story of Dhenukasura, our material mind is like Dhenukasura. Again, this material mind has to be killed by whom? Balaram. He is the personification of our spiritual master. It is such a stubborn thing, because the main quality of a donkey is what? Stubbornness. So the material mind, it hums us, you know, it just tells us all the time, yeah, this is right, that's right, this cannot be, that cannot be. There is so much argument that happens in the material mind. The material mind, again, we are going to talk about the three things, three qualities of a donkey, which is actually going to be compared to the three anarthas, or the three aspects of our material mind. Very, very interesting. Everybody can relate to these three aspects or the three anarthas and how they actually relate to quality of a donkey. So this comparison that our Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given us is going to definitely help us understand this materialistic mindset. So let's get into the topic. First aspect of the material mind. What is it? What does a donkey like to do? Donkey likes to work. Yes, you got it. If you had that in your mind, obviously you got the right answer. So the donkey, it likes to carry a lot of luggage, because donkey thinks, oh yeah, if I do a good job, then my master will give me something, right? They'll give me carrots, they'll give me some fruits and vegetables, I don't know what. But the material mind, that's what the donkey thinks. And the material mind loves to collect material knowledge. The material mind is so much attached to this material knowledge, just as this donkey is attached to the loads of luggage in him. This load, when you look at the load of the load the donkey carries, it's usually higher than even the donkey itself. Such is the load. So much load. You know, when you go to India, obviously you can definitely witness this. Not in places like America, but in India you can definitely see the donkeys, especially the laundry man. He takes all the he puts all the clothes of different people and takes it in a donkey. So donkey, he's with the consciousness of a duty. He goes and he's very hardworking. He's very righteous. So like that, our mind, it loves to load luggage. It loves to load some lot of unnecessary information into itself. Whatever you come across, some objects, some, you know, internet is there, free to access, very much free, very much accessible, very much available. Why not? You know, person, he just, you know, if he's very much attached to this material knowledge, if he's too attached to learn something, then what would he do? Even he'll go and read an encyclopedia. There'll be so many versions of encyclopedia. He could just learn the entire, all, you know, 4 or 5 versions of encyclopedia and tell him, and would be able to tell, oh yeah, here in this page, I see this and this stuff. And I see here something is going on. This person is the tallest. This person is the shortest. Here is the, you know, this China, you know, it's doing good in this particular area. Russia is doing well here. So many things. He has so much information to share, because he just has this love to accumulate all this useless information, material knowledge. So this is the point. The first aspect is, what is this material mind like? This donkey, it works hard like that. We like to load our brain with a lot of useless information. The second point that we are going to talk about is the second quality of the donkey, which I said, stubbornness, right? Stubbornness. Like that, we actually have stubbornness in our material goals. This is an amazing quality of the material mind. Or the mind is tuned into the life of material world. Say, for example, I set my material goals and I go do it like a donkey. A donkey, if it comes across a female companion, what will it do? It will not resist. This female companion, the female donkey, it will kick this guy. It will kick him very badly, but still he will not go. He wants to go with her. So like that, we are so attached to our material goals. We are not going to leave those goals. We are not going to compromise on those goals. We are stubborn. Yes. Yes. I want to achieve. Yes. Yeah. I have to become a director. you know what, I have to become the president. Like that. We are so stubborn with our material goals that we have. So this is the second point that we analyzed. The third point, the third quality of the material mind is the material mind is never satisfied. Never, never. The fact is, this person is never satisfied with what he has. He just wants something more. This is the quality of human greed, the material mind. Greed, when all the time, I just want it. The person cannot stop. You know, I have achieved something, but I want to achieve more. I'm just not as yet happy. I'm not satisfied. He still is an illusion. He thinks the future is one when he will get happiness. I will become happy when I actually come achieve this particular thing. I'm not happy now. I have to, you know, get this $1 million mark, and that's when I will become happy. This is not enough for me. So what happens? This person is chasing all his life. He is in vain in pursuit of material happiness by the ass of his material intelligence. He's never, never satisfied. This is the third quality or the third anartha that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura is trying to tell us. The first, if we want to recollect, the first one is we like to load our material mind with a lot of useless information, totally not relevant. Second is stubbornness to material goals. Yes, I want to fulfill this material goal of mine. I want to take care of this goal. I want to take care of that goal. Stubbornness, you're not going to give it up. The third one is your material mind is never going to be satisfied. You think about it. Every day we come across so much situations. Are we satisfied? The material mind will never allow us to become satisfied with what we have. That is the point. It is very practical. We are able to see these qualities because we have this material mindset. Again, this class is so instructive for me, if not for anybody else. Please forgive me if I said anything that you don't relate to. Again, this is just to help us get purified of our anathas and get to a platform where we are able to have only one goal, which is Lord Krishna. So obviously, we have to discuss through these things so that we are cleansed. And again, whenever I take classes, the first advice actually comes to me, myself. And then it applies to others. So I always have this as a point, and I want to repeat that if I'm going overboard on this, please forgive me. So we have to invite whom, now that we've talked about this material mindset, we have to invite whom? Invite Lord Balaram. Balaram is the one. He has to, what does he do to Dhenukasura? He spins around by the legs of Dhenukasura. If you look at Ananda Vrindavana Champu, it describes how Lord Krishna appeared before Dhenukasura. Dhenukasura is so huge. Krishna, he came to Talavan. And suddenly, for no reason at all, he broke into the domain of Dhenukasura. Suddenly, Krishna breaks into the domain of our material mind. The material mind, what does it say? It says, mine, mine, mine. You have no right. You don't have a place here. Go away. All the fruits are mine. It belongs to me. I'm meant to enjoy all these fruits. And Krishna says, you cannot enjoy. What does Bhagavad Gita say here? Bhuktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhrutam sarvabhutanam nyatva mam shantim richati. This is what Bhagavad Gita says. This Dhenukasura says, no, you're not supposed to enter into my domain. All the fruits belong to me. But our Bhagavad Gita 5.29, it says, all the fruits of all sacrifices belong to Lord Krishna. Krishna, he breaks in boldly into these possessions. These are all guarded by Dhenukasura. Material mind, if you look at it, it is not easy to kill. This material mind will attack us again and again and again. So we have to call out our spiritual master who will come and help us out. With the help of material mind, we will not understand anything. No way. As long as we cling to this material intelligence, you will never be able to understand transcendental things, spiritual things. And Krishna is not going to be available to us. So if we understand that everything here belongs to Lord Krishna, right? We need to understand that. And spiritual master, through his mercy, he has to help us understand the same, right? So this ass, he cannot enjoy them. He has these tall trees, they all bear fruit. To whom these fruits should be given? It has to be given to Krishna. All the fruits belong to Krishna. So the material intelligence, what does it say? It says, mine, mine, mine. And spiritual master, when he kills Denukasura, what does he say? You don't own anything here. In fact, the material logic, I can prove to myself everything here belongs to me. That is what the logic says. You know what? I just had to work 9 to 6 or 5 to 6 or sorry, 8 to 6. I work every day and accumulate everything. I just created this and this is mine. That is what the material mind says. I try to achieve somehow. I try to accumulate it all. But the spiritual master, he has to prove to the simple, he has to prove us the simple truth. What is the simple truth? Nothing belongs to you. And as soon as the person suddenly understands this, immediately the material mind leaves. And material mind, immediately what happens? This material, this gets changed to, it is transformed to a spiritual mind. When it understands the fact that everything belongs to Lord Krishna, it accepts Krishna. Yeah, Krishna, please welcome. These fruits are yours. And meant to be at your service. When we understand this, the material mind leaves. And thus, one gradually comes to this consciousness of God with the help of spiritual master. So here in today's words, we saw so many people were committing Vaishnava aparadh. They were completely selfish. They were identifying themselves with this material mind and material body. Isn't it? That is why they are not able. See, when you have this material mindset, you are able to think from the perspective of black and white. Logically, you want to go ahead and tackle the situation. You cannot understand anything transcendental because it's above you. It's above your imagination. So this is what was going on with the people in Navadvip. So the atmosphere in which Chaitanya came to earth, the society at that time, we also saw some people actually spoke Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, right? So the problem is that when those orthodox followers spoke those things, they were so passionate about their traditional culture, but they forgot about what is the purpose of this culture, because they didn't talk about the devotional service. The aspect of devotional service to the Lord was not spoken at all. So they forgot the purpose and the essence of what they were talking, because again, commentary said they were so-called learned scholars. Now, coming back to Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam actually quotes a very important verse. He talks about who a materialist is. And we would be surprised to see who a materialist is. Archayameva haraye pujam yashradayehate na tatpateshu chanyesha sabhakta prakrita smrita 11.2.47. One who worships the image of Lord Hari, shradayehate, with faith, with strong faith. But what is he not doing? No, if he is at the same time, if he worships the image of Krishna with faith, but at the same time does not respect who? Vaishnavas or other living person, such a person is sabhakta prakrita smrita. Such a person is a materialist. Even if he worships Lord Krishna with faith, but if he doesn't respect the Vaishnavas, then that person is also a materialist only. This is very important, dear devotees, for us to understand. So even though you may have faith in Lord Krishna, but if you don't respect the Vaishnavas, So who are we to judge? Krishna is in the heart of everyone, isn't it? Krishna is there. He knows what is the intention of a particular devotee. If we are judging the devotees, doesn't it mean we are actually taking the place of Krishna? I thought this was such a strong point to help us understand. We should never judge anybody. That means we should never criticize anybody. Very important. Very, very important. So when we are in this process of devotional service, we are the best of all, because as sadhakas we are given an opportunity to be in the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That itself is glorious. When we are given this opportunity to be amongst devotees who all are worshipping Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how fortunate we are. And when we are so fortunate, why should we judge others, isn't it? Because obviously judging, criticizing others, blaspheming others, this is not going to help us in any way. So much trouble we are taking to progress in devotional service. And when we are actually committing these aparads, slowly we are coming, you know, falling down. I'm going to talk about the steps of fall down, which is very, very important for us to understand. Now, without any further ado, obviously I was thinking of quoting some stories from Shastras, which actually spoke about Vaishnava aparad. I may not have much time, but at least I want to talk about the stages of aparad, which is very important. Because what are the stages the person passes through when he starts to commit aparad? Again, Bhakti Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami clearly lays that steps down for us. So we need to understand those steps so that we don't commit aparad, right? So let's understand what those steps are. So the first one is pride. So pride, what is this pride? Pride is blinded by our righteousness, right? A person considers his opinion to be true. What others think is below his opinion. Whatever they think, that's okay, but that's all below my opinion. Such a person, he unconsciously, what does he do? He puts his own interests above other people's interests. He has such a philosophy. If it's good for me, then it's going to be good for others as well. He doesn't understand, okay, people have their feelings. They will suffer if we don't go with their statements or at least try to understand their statement. He doesn't understand. He's just deluded by pride. And because of this, there's unconscious negligence to things happens. Okay, so this is the first thing. So pride and unconscious negligence. Okay, second one is, what is the second? This person, what happens to this person? He pulls everything on himself, thinking he's the source of the entire universe. Yes. Even for small things, what happens is he has the desire to be first. Oh, you know what? Aarti has come. I have to be offering the lamp to everyone. You know what? I have to offer flowers to the deity. I have to make prasadam for everyone. So this is a small things. He just wants to become the center. He wants to be the center. What happens is, as a result, this is going to lead to insult in thoughts. First, insult in thoughts happen. It all happens at the level of thoughts now. A person, he begins to believe that he has the right to look at fault of others. Yes. What is he doing? By doing this, he's trying to rise above everybody. Yes. When I start finding flaws in people, that makes you superior. Yes. You know what? I'm great. But as they say, the mind is on the tongue. If a person doesn't work on this, on his thoughts, then obviously he will start to offend in words. So first he is offensive in mind, in his thoughts. He starts thinking low upon others. He starts to, you know, just to put everybody down. You know, this guy is lower than me. He's not doing great on these things. He starts finding fault and to make him feel superior. And then, so as soon as the thoughts come, it definitely comes in action too. It's just a question of time. Okay. Probably, you know, depending on how this person is, it might soon transition and he would start to often use verbal abuse. Obviously, if you look at this, these three things can be tackled. There is a chance to stop everything. To do this, we have to work hard, right? You need to constantly analyze your thoughts. That's why it's important. Krishna consciousness is all about how conscious we are. At these levels, everything can be stopped. But we have to definitely work hard and analyze and introspect introspect our consciousness. So when we actually make Vaishnava aparad, it's very difficult to neutralize the consequences. After insulting the words, okay, now this person is at a stage where he has insulted this Vaishnava in words. Okay, he's already in action. Because of this, he has lost faith. So if you cut a ripe, juicy pear with a sharp blade, what will happen to it? The juice will flow, right? And then it will rot. Thus, by insulting the devotees, we wound our faith. This is what happens. Our understanding of the nature of things that flow from our heart you know, it's now going, our heart is now going to be covered by avidya. There is loss of protection. There is no protection because the material energy covers the living entity with a suit of ignorance, right? The living entity is completely now immersed in this material energy and does not understand what he has been doing all these years in the process of devotional service, because his heart is completely covered by the suit of ignorance. So this way he loses faith in Guru and Krishna. And next stage happens, what happens is appearance of material desires. They put such a pressure on this person. Krishna no longer protects the person, right? He no longer is going to give mercy to this person. So this material desires, what happens? You know, it just attacks this person and tears him apart. I want this. I want that. I cannot be happy. I cannot be satisfied. This, as a result of this, what happens is he wants to sin, commit sin and control material desires. He cannot control it. It's to a point where he's not even able to control his desires. Then this leads to the next stage, which is change of society. He goes to society where there is lower value system. Now we are at the society where we have a higher value system. What do? We observe four regulative principles. We follow the vows that is given to us by our spiritual master. This is the purest religion. In this movement, any person, even if he doesn't meet the standards, he is trying to fulfill. He wants to fulfill to the best possible effort. But this person, he comes to a platform where he no longer wants to act in this platform. He considers himself a black sheep, right? And seeks to leave the society of devotees. He goes and sees, oh, where is this promised paradise? I want to go and enjoy. I want to go and gratify my sense desires. I have so many desires. I want to go and gratify all of them. Where is this unseen paradise? I've never seen it. I want to go and enjoy and have fun. This is what is change of society. And as a last stage, what happens is this offender, he ends up doing illicit sex. He starts making plans to gratify his senses in an illegal way. This is what happens to us. There are different stages the devotee goes through. And because again, we are covered by our material upadhis. It's a very subtle identification in our heart, right? So this person starts to change his value system and love for God is no more in the picture. You know, it's all fades into the background. You know, he gives it up and giving it to worldly charity and sentimentality. This is what happens to this person. So these are the various stages a person goes through when he starts to commit aparadh. So very important, dear devotees, how a fall down can happen, right? We always ask this question, how does a fall down happen to a devotee when he commits aparadh? Vaishnavananda is not to be taken easy. Definitely our scriptures, various scripture sites, various stories to help us understand the fact that you're not going to, your tongue which chants the holy names of the Lord will soon forget the holy names of the Lord when we try to do ninda to others. Because all those Vaishnavas are properties of Krishna. How can Krishna's property be, Krishna, he doesn't feel good when you actually offend them, right? That is the reason he wants to show that affection he has for the devotees of the Lord. And that is why this ninda has to be avoided at all chances. And we are not nobody to judge anybody, right? Krishna is there. He is in people's heart. He will do his work. We don't have to judge anybody. Understand, everybody is going through this process of purification, right? One person can be right one time, another, the same devotee can be wrong the next time. But we can't judge people because Krishna is there to purify him in the course of time. We just have to give this some time, give this person some time so that he can change and reform. Just give some time, because a devotional service doesn't do miracles in a day. We have to wait patiently. There must be utsaha, there must be niksha, there must be dhairya. This process happens gradually. We have to keep reminding ourselves these points over and over again so that we don't commit aparadh. Right? Now, coming back to Srimad Bhagavatam, what does that say? Ayushriyam Yashodharmam Lokanashisha Evacha Hanti Shreyam Si Sarpani Pumso Mahat Atikrama 10.4.46. It says, when a man persecutes great souls, what does he lose? He loses his prana, long life. He loses good luck. He loses glory. He loses understanding of religion. He loses a place in the high worlds. He loses all blessings. And then he loses all other possible goods. This is what happens to a person who persecutes great souls. 10.4.46 from Srimad Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Bhagavatam, it says 20.143 to 144. Lord Chaitanya said, simply by hearing the insults against the saints, one perishes and becomes insane. Just by listening to the reproach of a sadhu, all sukriti, piety disappears. And from life to life, the soul falls into hell. This is confirmed in the Vedas. I think somebody has to mute. So what happens? This is what, one second. I don't know. Somebody is on mute or unmute. Sorry. All right. So what happens so when we hear these insults, what should we do? How should we react? This is the next point that we are coming to. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura, he says, if we hear the insults, then we must stop the person with argument or words. Or if you cannot stop this person, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to leave the place. Right? This is important. You know, practically, if we are hearing the blaspheme of other devotees, we are not supposed to hear them. We have to immediately leave or try to at least stop the conversation of that argument about that particular devotee. This should be followed. If we hear aparath, we will lose all our piety. Because when we listen and remain silent, what does the silence mean? The silence means it shows the consent. Yes, I'm agreeing to it. Then according to the law of karma, we share the reactions with the offender. This is the universal law that Chaitanya Bhagavatam says. So Vaishnava, he has two options. Either he has to stop the conversation, try whoever is blaspheming, that he has to try to stop that conversation, or he has to leave the place. It's very serious. So all aparath which we listen, and you know, obviously when we listen to those aparath, it happens to pop up in our heart. When we see that devotee the next time, even though we did not speak anything bad about this devotee, this incident will definitely pop up in our heart. It's practical, right? Say, for example, a devotee, he complains about a temple president up to you. And you did not agree one way or the other. But what happened is you listen to the entire conversation and it goes on in your head. The next day, you start to chant your japa. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. What happens? You are chanting the glories of the holy names of the Lord. This incident comes to you. You are not even able to concentrate and complete two rounds. This incident about temple president, how this devotee actually blasphemed about this temple president, comes to your mind over and over and over. You are not able to chant the rounds. Then immediately you just go. And your mind starts to, then when you actually meet the temple president, you just go, you have to beg forgiveness from him. Save my spiritual life, temple president. I heard such and such comment from a devotee. And because of this reason, I'm not able to concentrate on the holy names of the Lord. Please forgive my offense. And when that devotee, the temple president hears, probably, you know, he would be convinced with what your mind has construed, and he would say, oh, nothing to worry. You'll be all right. And if he forgive you, then that will be the end of it all. Because you've asked forgiveness from the person whom you've offended, then you'll be able to chant the glories of the holy names of the Lord. Right? This is what will happen to us. It will keep ringing in our mind over and over and over. Even though we did not actually participate, we listened, we gave a consent. Yes. Because of this consent, we are being tormented now. Are you able to understand? So even the simple act of listening, which we feel is harmless, is harmful to our practice of devotional service. So very, very important to actually avoid these offenses, isn't it? That is the point or the theme of today's verses that we have seen in Chaitanya Bhagavat. So when you look at aparath, first of all, we must understand how our mechanism, how our mind, polluted mind works. because we perceive everything materially. So this is what we saw. Why are we accustomed to perceiving things materially? Because it's very convenient. It's less responsibility. What can I do with matter? Yes, anything can be done with matter. We look at other people and say, oh, I can do whatever I want with him, right? We forget we are souls. We forget we are the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. We forget our relationship with the Lord. This is more what a material mind, a person with material mindset can do. And if a Vaishnava comes to me, oh, yeah, this person comes to me. He has two legs, two arms. Okay, how can I offend this person? Why is he here? He has to get the hell out of here. Why do we think like this? If we look at him, if I look at him in this way, I start to offend Krishna. And we should understand when Vaishnavas come to us, when we associate with our spiritual master, when we associate with our scriptures, when we associate with the holy name, when we associate with the deities, what should we remember? We should remember everything is related to Krishna and show respect accordingly, right? This Hare Krishna Mahamantra is just not a sound. It is transcendental sound. The deities that are standing in front of me is Krishna himself. Whether we understand it or not, whether we know this connection or not, it is spiritual master who would help us understand these things and be able to connect Krishna in our lives. He gives us Krishna. Devotees, they give Krishna to us. So we have to be indebted to them. Any devotee, you know, obviously what happens, any devotee can come to us and say, Prabhu, you are in Maya. We can be told anytime, right? We are in Maya because Maya, obviously it's the ability to see something separate from Krishna. We are seeing things not connected to Krishna, but away, separated from Krishna. We don't understand the connection. That means we are in Maya. That means we are going to commit offenses. That means we will do aparad for sure. On the contrary, if we are able to think about the connection with Lord Krishna, we are able to remember the living beings, everything, all are parts and parcels of Krishna. The Vaishnavas, they are chanting the glories of the holy names. They should be respected. They should be given utmost respect. If we are able to connect it with Krishna, then we are not able to go. Then we are not going to commit aparad. So I will probably end with this today's theme with this one point from Canto 3 of Bhagavatam, because Kapila Dev, he dispels everything, all our doubts through this particular verse. Manastani bhutani pranamet bahumanyana bahumanayan manayan ishvaro jiva kalaya pravishto bhagavaniti. So 3.28.34, Kapila Dev, he says, what does it mean to respect everyone? Does it mean, okay, there is a germ coming here, I have to pay my respects, namaha, to the insect or a bird or a creature that is going on the ground, especially those that are below you, how do you respect? He says, in your mind, you give them respect. Manastani bhutani pranamed bahumanyana manayan. You show respect, you do it in your mind. It is important. So firstly, we don't have to go, obviously, we don't have to physically bow in front of everybody. You know, we say, that's a huge relief. Yes, it is definitely a daunting task for you to bow to everyone all the time. It is important for us to understand, we should not think, oh, this guy is not adequate. I'm better than him. We should never think this. We have to show everybody respect with our mind. Depending upon the gradation of the living entities, we show them respect accordingly. This is what Kapila Dev says. You have to put yourself in the position of people whom you are trying to demean, right? I mean, obviously, insect, every soul, every living entity has a Paramatma in them, right? We have to give respect, be it a creature, be it an ant, be it a... So we definitely need to understand this aspect of giving respect by gradation. By, you know, obviously, we have these Kanishta, Madhyama, Uttama, through which we give respect according to their people's adhikar. Course, we have learned that. So here he says Ishvara enters every living being, because of which we have to give, Bhagavan himself enters into everyone. This is an important point that Kapila Dev wants to tell us here through Srimad Bhagavatam. So respecting everybody is very, very important. If you look at Ranti Deva, you know, he respected the Chandala. Why? he respected, because he, there was super soul in him, he respected the chandala also. For him it was worship. This is the understanding. We have to obviously exercise our compassionate nature and be careful at the same time and be respectful to all living entities. This is what Kapiladev teaches. This has to, if the compassion is material, what would happen? The sentiment is also going to be material. Obviously, it is going to get you strongly bound into this material world. So that's why Sukhrutam Sarva Bhutana, we don't want to imitate the Lord. He is the best friend of everybody. He is Sukhrutam Sarva Bhutana, right? Oh, you know, we will say, oh yeah, you know what? I'm the best of all living entities. I'm the best friend to everybody. Let me show the highest compassion. I can feed 100 people. Yes, you can do it. We must respect everyone, understanding Bhagavan is in the heart of every living entity. So of course, these blasphemers, they didn't understand the living beings are part and parcels of the Lord. They were completely atheists. They turned away from God, and hence they were committing all these aparatas. And as an essence, we spoke about the material mentality. We spoke about the story of Dhenukasura to help us understand what are these material anarthas and how we can overcome them. We also spoke about different sections from Srimad Bhagavatam, and we spoke about what are the steps for fall down when we commit aparad. We also spoke about what does Srimad Bhagavatam say from third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We saw Kapila Muni's explanation and giving respect based on traditions. We have to give respect. So this is what we saw. So we can conclude now. Srimad Bhagavat, sorry, Chaitanya Bhagavat ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, jai Gauranga, jai Nityananda, hey Krishna. Thank you, dear devotees. Appreciate your time.
Krishna Radhika, thank you so much for such a power packed month. It was so well presented and so nicely you spoke, Mataji. Thank you so much for all the inputs. Be it the verses, the relevancy of the verses, and the very important topic of aparad and how to deal with it and how to identify it. With so many references, so nicely you have presented it, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a very, very fantastic class. Thank you so much. I was also thinking as you were reading the verses that the same thing is applicable even today. At the time of chat at that time, those early days of Sri Mahaprabhu, when everything was based on, you were talking about the palanquin, right? Like how many people can carry in a palanquin, or who has a good palanquin, or whatever, animals or whatever. Same thing applies now, it's just cars and homes and things like that. It's kind of foolish. People think we are fools if you're not in the right situation. So it's very relatable is what I wanted to say. That things don't change that easily. And the curve is going to be for a very long time to come. And luckily at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. And now, of course, we do have our acharyas. So thank you so much, Mataji, but definitely a lot of input on proper sadhana, which I really appreciate. Definitely, I also need to work on a lot of things. Sometimes I was just thinking about this. I wanted to hear your opinion. So you were talking about the silence means always acceptance, but sometimes silence means, would it also mean that, oh, you have a particular impression, I don't want to make an offense here, but you will realize it yourself. So just keeping silent and moving, just avoiding it. Would that be still negative? Because most of the times when you're in conversation with the devotee, sometimes, like you said, if it is about some other devotee, then if you're silent, that means you agree with them. But I'm asking you, sometimes we are silent because we do not want to make another offense and we disagree with them and we mentally shut down so that they come to a realization. We don't want to speak up at that time because they may not be in a position to even hear what we're talking. So I was just curious, is that also an offense?
Sure, Mataji. the point is that our acharyas don't want us to hear that blaspheme. So you can just, you know, obviously tell them, oh, you know what, I'm getting late to something. I need to catch up on something. I'm sorry, I'm not able to talk further. Some polite way, you just say something and move out and walk out of the place if you feel you are actually, you know, trying to be disrespectful to them. You know, just say these words very politely and move out. The thing is, we should not hear it. That way our mind will get polluted in a subtle way. We will not know it. You know what? I don't agree. But at the same time, our mind will constantly keep thinking about it. That's the problem with our material mind. Mm. Even though we just don't agree, you know, in theory, we don't agree. But in practicality, our mind will keep bothering us over and over and over. It will just keep clashing back to us. That's the point. That is why our acharyas say, please don't be involved. Please don't hear it. Please don't hear any blasphemy. No. Just walk out of the place. Whatever you have to say to that person, I'm sorry, I'm just running out on time, my kids have to be picked up, some excuse, just go away. Don't listen. That's that we have to be very clear about that, Mataji. I think
yes, Mataji, that makes sense. Yeah, thank you so much, Mataji. I there are some raised hands, so I'm just trying. I don't know if everyone is muted, but yeah, everyone can go ahead. I thought Vinita Mataji is also there. Anyway. Yeah, everyone can.
Thank you again, Mataji, for this wonderful opportunity. You know, after a very long hiatus, I have come and I feel really blessed to be in this association of devotees, and Bhakti Sangha is always special to me. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
That for sure, Mataji.
Hari Bol Radhika, Dandavat Pranam, such a beautiful class. Actually, by the causeless mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I have logged in perhaps after ages today, and I feel so blessed to listen to your class, you know, with so much energy and enthusiasm. You were telling, you know, all the things we must do and we must not do, and it was a great pleasure to listen to your class after a long time, and it was a great pleasure to even listen to a Chaitanya Bhagavat class after such a long time today. I'm so indebted to all the devotees who organized this call. I just had one question. Earlier in one of the slides, you showed that the atheists, you know, do not say that you should not chant the names of Lord loudly. So I was wondering what could be the reason for it.
Yeah, so when you look at our Vedas, they always see with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it's an exception, right? I mean, if you look at other pranam mantras, we are supposed to chant them very softly. You know, it should be heard only to you. Even in Sri Sampradaya, when they are given the mantra, they should just not do it loudly. They have to do it only, you know, they should be the only persons who hear it. So there are so-called learned people. They don't understand the complete essence. They don't know about what is Hare Krishna mantra, how, you know, we can loudly perform and chant these mantras. So they have half knowledge, because of which they just kind of, you know, obviously want to put down the devotees and tell them their perspective, that this is what you should do, like that. I hope you get the point, Mataji. So certain mantras, if we get it from the Vedas, we have to actually chant it only. We should be able to hear it and should not be loud. So there are definitely constraints with regards to chanting of the mantras. And people with half knowledge, if they don't understand about the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then they can misconstrue that.
Sure, yeah, I do get it, mm-hmm. you know, with respect to mantras, but mm-hmm. I was just wondering, just chanting the holy name of the Lord, you know, I mean, I do understand mantras, they have potency, and you need to see time, place, and circumstance, and standards like, you know, cleanliness, and whatever, you know, in whatever state the guru has given us, like, mm-hmm. You know, with some restrictions or so. Mantra, I do get the point, Mataji. I was only like, when that verse came by, I just thought, chant the holy names of the Lord loudly. I mean, almost everybody in India say, hey, Krishna, hey, Rama. I mean, I see almost everybody, right?
Here so we have, yeah.
what that meant, you know, in that context. Maybe, or like you said, it may be referring to mantras, I guess.
And correct. That may- here, people are with the different mindsets, to different consciousness are here. I mean, some people are complete atheists. Some people, they have they can do Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, but they don't understand the essence. Some people have half knowledge here and there. So there are so many people with different set of consciousness. So, you know, obviously, whatever they say, it's coming from that half knowledge that they have, and they don't know the glories of the holy names. At the same time, they don't know that Hare Krishna Ma Mantra doesn't need name, place, and things of that nature. So obviously, and you know, those things are hidden from their knowledge, so as to speak. Thank you, Mataji, Sukhasari Mataji, for actually, you know, it's I always feel it's a blessing. Because, you know, again, only because of the opportunity that you gave me at some point in time, I'm able to.
No, Mataji, it's actually my big fortune that I got to listen to today's class.
Oh, please, Mataji. So Hare Krishna.
All of you, Mataji.
Don't say such words. Hare Krishna. I'm very humbled, Mataji, by your presence. Thank you so
much. Beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Radhika Kasturi Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. This is Vinita Gandharvika. Very, very beautiful, beautiful class, Mataji, the way you connected the class to the past time and so many lessons to be learned, how we should be very cautious about aparadha and, you know, listening to it, how it will affect our chanting. So many points, Mataji. Thank you so much. Very, very grateful to you for your sweet association, Mataji. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna, Vinita Gandharvika, Mataji, for always encouraging and inspiring and acting as a beautiful role model for our Bhakti Sangha. So if there is somebody who we have to follow, it's you. When it comes to promptness, when it comes to everything in terms of services, I definitely look up to you, Mataji. Thank you so much. You're a big source of inspiration. Hare Krishna.
Learning from all of them in Bhakti Sangha, Mataji, each Mataji and each Prabhuji, whoever working for Bhakti Sangha has a lot of high qualities in them. So learning from all of them, Mataji. Hari Bol.
Hari, 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 Hari. I think Gail Mataji has a question.
Hi, Krishna Mataji. Thank you for the class. Yeah, I just want you to repeat one part when you were discussing the progression of aparadha, right?
Yes.
And it was, I think it was the third step, like after, you know, you think you're a superior position, right? And I think after that, then what happens?
So I don't know. You see, pride and then unconscious negligence. After that, you start creating offenses in the mind, then offenses in words. And then what happens is you lose faith in Lord Krishna and the Guru. And then your heart, it starts to have uncontrolled material desires. It will just crave for so many desires. And then you will move into society, which is of low value system, not stay in the association of devotees anymore. Then as a final stage, you will start to perform illicit sex.
Yeah. So yeah, in one of those earlier stages, I think, you know, when there's pride and you begin to feel like I am better than others.
Okay.
And then you, therefore, become critical of others, right?
Correct, correct. Because you want to show superiority of yourself over others, you start to insult others. First it comes in thoughts, then it will come in words.
Yes, and then after this sense of superiority comes, right? I think then the next stage now is that what you lose faith in this.
Correct.
Is that the next?
Correct. It is the next.
Yeah. Now. So, why you feel like you're superior, but now you're losing faith in the process? What accounts for that transition into losing faith You're thinking you're superior first. Now you're losing faith. Why?
Because you start to insult. You're starting first insulting in mind and then insulting in words. Obviously, when you do it in action, Krishna, he will take, he will see, since you are directly, obviously intruding and committing Vaishnava aparath here, it's not a simple thing. It will be very difficult to neutralize the consequences. Because you're not worth of having this devotion to Lord Krishna. If you're insulting Krishna's property, then how are you supposed to be worthy of it, isn't it? So the only thing that keeps us into this movement is faith.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start to offend the devotees, you are attacking the property of Krishna. When you're touching the property of Krishna, that means at the level of soul, you are being affected. That is aparad, because you are affected at the level of soul. It is not just a simple thing. There is a difference between sin and aparad, right? Say, for example, aparad, you know, there is, you progress in devotional service. So say 60 units of devotional service, you progress. When you start making an offense, when you start making aparad, what happens? You actually start losing that 50 units. That 50 units becomes 40 units and your progress to devotional service becomes deeper. When you start to make a sin, your progress to devotional service becomes steeper, but it doesn't affect what you have. 50 remains 50. But when it comes to aparad, 50 becomes 40. And slowly it becomes 30. Slowly it becomes 20. Slowly you lose everything what you have. This is the extent to which aparad can take you. Very, very careful we have to be when it comes to especially Vaishnava Ninda, Guru Ninda, all that. Very, very careful. That is why we are not supposed to, as I told you, we're not supposed to be judging anybody for what they are doing. It's up to them and Krishna. Just leave them alone. We have so much anarthas that we have to work on. Why not we try to work on our anarthas, right?
Hmm. Yeah, so since you brought up, can you say again the distinction between sin and aparad?
So sin, as I told you, say for example, I have 50 units of devotional service. If I have 50 units of devotional service, when I commit sin, what happens is my progress further becomes steeper and steeper. As I commit sin, more and more sin. The 50 units remain 50 units, but my progress eventually, becomes slower and slower. This is what happens with sin.
That's the result of committing
sin. That is the result of committing sin. The sin is due to what? Due to attachment to sense gratification. You want to perform sin because you are attached to that particular sense gratification. You want to repeat it. Yeah, you know what? I feel enjoyment in killing small insects. When I see them, I just want to kill. I just like to have fun. Yeah, you know, I like to do this act. That is why I kill these small insects. This is just due to the sense gratification you commit a sin. But Vaishnava,
but even this wanting to feel superior to other Vaishnavas, it is also a subtle sense of sense gratification.
This is directly affecting our soul. That is the difference. It is directly relating to our soul because our soul is by nature Sachitananda. When you bring in these qualities which are contradicting to your nature, then it directly affects your soul. When it is affecting at the layer of soul, then that is aparad.
Okay. Yeah, I guess this concept of it directly affecting the soul.
Correct.
You know, yeah, I mean to say, how is anything directly affecting the soul when the soul is always untouched, unchanging?
See, the soul is covered by the suit of ignorance. To the extent you are covered with ignorance, you are not going to turn towards Krishna. That's the understanding, isn't it? Why are we doing what we are doing? We are not acting on the platform of soul at any point in time. We don't have the vision of false ego all the time. I mean, we don't have the vision of true ego all the time. Why? Because we haven't gotten to perfection. We are definitely covered by the layer of ignorance. To that layer, to that extent to which we are covered by that ignorance, to that extent we will be committing aparad. I mean, obviously, because we don't know In theory also we don't know, in practicality also we commit mistakes. But to the extent that layer of ignorance gets removed slowly by the mercy of our Guru Vargas, to that extent, you know, our true ego will pop up. Okay.
But you see, the thing is that it is because of that layer of ignorance that we even commit sin. That ignorance, it makes us commit both sin and aparad.
Yes, of course.
So that's why in that way they seem to be very similar. So that's why I'm still trying to.
So that's why, Mataji, that the understanding there is, this is at the level of sense gratification. So it's just, you know, the senses that are wanting to do particular activity. But when it touches the layer of soul, then when you touch Krishna's property, when it comes, Vaishnavananda is always spoken about, right? I mean, in all scriptures, if you talk about, because of Vaishnava Prat, what has happened? You know, we have stories in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Amog, what happened to this devotee? He was criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because of which he got affected by a disease. You know, when we do Vaishnava Prat, immediately, you know, you are not worthy of it. You are not worthy to have devotion. So that when you're not worthy of it, Krishna takes it away. Because you are not able to utilize it. When somebody gives you, take care of this very carefully. You know, when we start misusing it, obviously Krishna is going to take it away. Even with sin, we are not given the liberty to perform this action of sin. The progress becomes steeper and steeper. So it's going to get difficult to you. You know, over a period of time, you may lose interest. Right? Because you are very slow in that progress. If we have taste in devotional service, then only we can sustain. But when we are going on committing these sins, these aparats, obviously we are not going to get the taste that we want soon. So he is going to deprive us of that. So that is the difference, Mataji. I mean, obviously, we cannot, you know, take aparat very lightly because it's Krishna and Krishna's property. You know, the holy name, holy name, Vaishnavas, Bhaktas, they have to be taken with utmost sincerity. And we should never insult them and take it and look at it with our material set of eyes. So just the understanding as much as possible.
Yeah, well, what I understood was that, you know, as you said, Krishna's devotees are his, you know, dear property. And if you don't handle his property well, then he will not allow you to handle it in the future.
Yes, Mataji.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Absolutely, Mataji. Thank you so much for your attentive listening. I appreciate it, Mataji.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances and glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Was there somebody else speaking in between, Mataji?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you. Thank you so much. Very, very beautiful class. So I want to be a devil's advocate and want to speak something to you, Mataji. You know, even if like how you're telling Gugel Mataji, Gaurangi Mataji about that Krishna will take away the bhakti, but in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, no matter what, name bhakta pranashyati. So once I have become a devotee, how will Krishna let me become non-devotee? That is my one question. And before that, I just want to know this journey that we have from lust to love and love to lust. This is what you said, the last thing, we fall down having illicit sex. So this is for me, as you were narrating, it was like we were lusty. We saw we somehow or the other devotee association, Krishna's mercy, we came to the love of Krishna. And then again, from love to Krishna, by doing aparad, we went back to lust. So this journey that you were explaining, the steps whereby Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you said, Mataji?
This is Bhakti Sandarbhat by Jiva Goswami Mataji.
Okay, Jiva Goswami. Okay, thank you so much. So coming back to the question that once we have become devotee, even like Bhagavad Gita again and again, Prabhupada explains, and Krishna himself is saying that if he is not a devotee of great stature, then he will go to the planet, you know, higher planetary system, and then come back and take birth in a pious family. Or if he has done it for long, then he will come back. So, I mean, I of course I understand. I'm nowhere like minimized. I mean, who am I to even minimize to the, you know, the, what do you say, the impact of Vaishnava Parad? But at the same time, from the devotee, sometimes we do Vaishnava Parad like we are helpless. We are like Prabhupada says, we are so tiny, so we are so little and so conditioned that we, this is always, things are not in our hand, even if we are hearing it day in, day out. But being in the situation, and we see our early, you know, when the Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they were so fired up, and still things happen. So it is not, I mean, as I'm seeing things, Mataji, you know, the beginning I was just thinking, oh, fall down, and it was so easy. But as I, every day for me, fall down is not a place where I criticize people, but it is a place where I empathize people, because I don't know if I'm going to be the, I even don't know if tomorrow or even evening by evening I'll remain a devotee, because material world is so precarious, and I'm just saying what I'm seeing around. So in that case, will Krishna not see that you know, this devotee did not do it purposefully, and it accidental, like, you know, which verse which says, like Bhagavad Gita, like chapter 9, that even if he does abominable thing, Krishna will protect him. So I got confused between Krishna will remove the bhakti. Sorry, Mataji. Yeah. So maybe he will remove, but that's not like Krishna's punishment and Krishna's reward, both are absolute, because Krishna is absolute. That's what Srila Prabhupada's been telling us. So even if he is punishing us, taking away from bhakti, it is not Krishna's harshness towards us, but this is what our purification needs. But that will still keep us dear to Krishna, isn't it, Mataji?
You know, the thing is, absolutely, Mataji. The thing is, Krishna, he wants everybody to come back to him. Obviously, he gives us an opportunity. So every devotee, I mean, everyone becomes devotees, and they, you know, when will this devotee turn towards me? When will he turn his face towards me? When will he look at me? This is what Krishna hankers for. And once he looks at you, once you start to turn away, turn towards him, then he takes 100 different steps to actually bring him closer. Oh, he gives you guru, he gives you sadhu, he gives you shastras, gives you so many of these amenities to bring you more closer and closer and closer. And the point is that when we start misusing what we have been given, then that is when Krishna, he takes a step back. Again, we as conditioned people, we are all, because sometimes in the initial stages, we may not be even aware of the shastras. You know, we don't know the implications of the shastras, and we may not even know it theoretically, because of which we will do what we do. Again, you know, this aparat doesn't, you know, it's not a drastic free fall. It's not like that. Right? Aparad, you know, if you have gained so much, then you are going to go back so much. See, this is going to be 5 units at a time. Then when you start to recognize and understand, okay, you know, the thing is, with Vaishnava Aparad, a very important point is that we have to go and seek forgiveness from that person whom we have offended. That is the point. Are you willing to do that? Krishna will see your intention. You know what? I did it right. I don't think I need to go and ask forgiveness from this person. I really don't care. I don't think, you know, I was right. I just, you know, did what I'm supposed to do. It was very practical, and I don't have to go and ask for forgiveness from this devotee. If your mind is going to go with this particular thinking like this, if it's going to think in this way, then obviously that means you are not rectified of that Vaishnava aparat yet. When I committed an offense, if I go to the temple president and if I ask for forgiveness, telling him, oh, this is what exactly happened, save my spiritual life because I'm not able to chant the glories of the holy names of the Lord. When I ask for forgiveness in this mood, that person immediately forgives and I'm clear. No problem. I'm still given a chance to go and further progress in my devotional service. When that devotee wholeheartedly accepts your forgiveness, no problem. Okay, you unknowingly did something. If that was really unknowing, then you will go and ask for forgiveness to that person. But if you don't, if you have a hard heart, and if you think, oh, with pride, you think, oh, I, you know what, I did what I'm supposed to do. I don't care. Why should I go and ask for forgiveness? Then obviously, if you don't deserve something, Krishna has to pull you down. He has to make you understand. Okay, you know, this is when you understand, okay, slowly you are going in the wrong direction, slowly you start to lose everything, you know, then we become humbled, right? Again, we have to, whatever sadhana we have to perform, we have to redo the whole thing from again. If you value your sadhana, you will go and ask for forgiveness. If you don't, then you lose what you have. So we definitely need to understand. That is why Guru, Sadhu and Shastras play a very important role. If we don't have shastras, then we don't even know what the offenses are and what is the consequence of the offense. If we don't have this knowledge, then we will not understand, okay, you know, I can perform anything, and we will not even know. Then when we lose it, we don't even care about it. That means that the faith, everything was very loose, and Kanishka can, you know, is so flexible. He can be pulled and meddled like this. Given that scenario, we have to strengthen that faith with Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. It's very important. The Shastra has to be strong. Otherwise, we'll be bent easily, and otherwise we will commit lot of aparads unknowingly also, and we will not know what, where we are leading to, right? Yeah. So that's the point, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Yes, Mataji. Thank you very much, Mataji. Hare
Krishna. Does anybody have any question, Mataji? Otherwise, I say thank you very much, Mataji. So much instructive class, and very, very beautiful and inspiring class too, and enlightening to my mind and to me, especially my consciousness. Because in connection of the Mataji's question, I have to ask one question. I need to ask one question, that if you do something negative thinking for some such a devotee one, and then in the second minute, you're aware and say, oh, this is not good. This is a Vaishnava aparad. And you don't go to her or him. And so, and you just awake by yourself. So what kind of aparad is it? Is it count in aparad, Mataji?
It is not. It is not. In level of thoughts, no problem. You know, at the level of thoughts, no problem. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, you thought it and but you just immediately took it away from your heart.
Yeah.
No problem. As long as it starts, absolutely not a problem. When it comes, that thought becomes action, that's when it becomes a problem. That's when you actually committed an aparad, and you should go and ask for forgiveness no matter what.
Yeah.
We should never let our false ego come in between us and tell us, no, you are good, you are great, you are such a great devotee. You are, that devotee is only, you know, he's 10 years or lesser than you in devotional service. No, don't let your mind take over and control you.
Yeah.
Go and ask for forgiveness if you did.
Because so many times thinking in my mind that, did I do the Vaishnava aparad, even though I just awake right?
Kali Yuga, people are excused. If you commit the aparad in mind, no problem. Krishna has been so merciful.
And then I just give forgiveness. I just get to Krishna. And that Krishna, I did this one by my mind, but I shouldn't do like that. And then I just awake. So is it okay, right, Mataji?
Yes, yes, no problem. In the mind.
Be careful next time it doesn't happen to anyone, right?
Correct, correct. The thing is, the soon the mind turns into action. The whatever thoughts we have, it turns into action. So we have to be very careful. As soon as the mind thinks like this, immediately go and pray to the lotus feet of Krishna. Please, Krishna, take away this thought from me. I don't want to think harm to any person. I want to chant an extra round for this person because I'm thinking like this. I want to, you know, let him get the spiritual credit. Like that, when we start to do things that are actually opposing our opposing this particular idea or thought, then Krishna will be satisfied. When we do actually start to think good for that person and pray to the lotus feet of Krishna, please, I really don't want to have such a thought or intention. I just want to serve you and focus on you. Please help me. And you know, in that process, in the mood of surrender, when we pray, you know, obviously Krishna is so merciful and he will definitely help you. Another thing is, you can go to a Vaishnava, reveal your heart to the Vaishnava confidentially, and that Vaishnava will be able to help you out, come out of it. When we share our heart to Vaishnavas, then the burden becomes less and they will be able to guide us in a proper way.
Right.
That's another way.
Thank you, Mataji, so much. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and all glories to you, Mataji.
This is really such an
instructive class. I really like that class, this class too much. And too much lessons I got to know, to learn so many things. When you get your mind to purify, you should just reach your spiritual master or some devotee, like advanced devotee. So, and so many things about you talk about Vaishnava aparad and how to overcome from that aparad. Very nicely you explain everything. So Mataji, today is a very enlightening class, and we are very grateful to you, Mataji. we look forward to your association again and again in future. And if nobody have any question, and if you have your permission, we can close our call, Mataji. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyo eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Shri Chaitanya Bhagavat ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Har Grace Radhika Kasturi Mataji ki jai. Hari bol.
Hari Hari bol. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.